Thank you. Wow. Holy cow, 40? 40's a lot. A lot of things have changed around here in 40 years. Can you imagine? It's been fun to listen and just think about what those early days were like. It's been wonderful to acknowledge the people that were here so long ago and the ministers that had the vision, that held the vision. It reminds me of those days. You know, they say that Ernest Holmes would be lecturing, and then he would say to somebody like, "You need to go to Pasadena and start your own little church out there. Let's get the people excited out there." And that's sort of what Reverend Leonard Binks has done for us. He brought lots of science of mind to the Phoenix Valley. A lot of things change in 40 years, and a lot of things don't change. We were going through all the archives. We were looking at minutes from previous board meetings. They were doing the same stuff we're doing. It's so funny to see some of the, you know, painting the building and painting the lines in the parking lot and the sound system. And it's so funny that we just keep, you know, with longevity, you have this opportunity to just keep cleaning things up. There's an Egyptian proverb that says, "Change is Lord of the universe. Nothing rests. Everything moves." And so sometimes change is good. You know, if you look back historically at all the things that have happened in the world, you can see that there are things that we have that we didn't used to have. You know, imagine that you're one of the many people who's just visioning and imagining what it feels like to be a bird flying in the sky, and then suddenly there's some practical information that seems that maybe we could really figure this out. And before you know it, we've got the Wright brothers really getting up in an airplane and getting flying in the sky and making this progress that was only once a dream. You know, things have changed. There are simple cures for diseases that used to be life-threatening. We're looking every day at new cures for things in the medical world. And we have technology. Oh my, we have technology, don't we? And I honestly, some days I think when I'm preparing my Sunday message and I'm Googling and I'm accessing all this fabulous information, and I wonder, what did my colleagues used to do in the 1960s and 70s and then before Jeeves, you know? And I love that. You know, I love that. We are communicating more than ever. We are accessing information in extraordinary ways. We are globally conscious in a way that we have not been before. And then they updated my iPhone, and my smartphone is now making me feel stupid again. But life is about change. Nothing rests and everything moves. Ernest Holmes said, this is one of my favorite quotes, "Nature will not let us stay at any one place too long. Nature demands change in order that we may advance." And oh my goodness, have we advanced! What a great 5 years I've had since I've been here, and we have seen tremendous change in so many little ways. And then there are other things that happen in life that create change that maybe we weren't really wanting to have that experience of. You know, really just recently we had the hurricane blowing through the East Coast, and we have friends there, and everybody knows somebody there, and there's flooding, and we have earthquakes, and we have wars that displace people. And so there are changes that come because we're ready to change. And then there are changes that come and we don't think that we're ready to change, but things cannot stay the way they were. Life has to be constantly evolving in order that we might advance. You know, in 1894 in New York City, they had quite a crisis, right? in 1894. They called it in New York City and also in London and many of the big urban areas. They actually called it the Great Manure Crisis of 1894 because there were so many horses and so many people, and they used horses for everything, for transporting goods as well as people and doing work. And so the manure was piling up faster than they could clean it up, and it brought disease, it brought flies, there were accidents. It was not a good situation. In fact, it got so bad that by 1898, they created the first International Urban Planning Conference. And they brought people from all over the world. All these big cities came so that they could have a little think tank. They could do some brainstorming to figure out what they were going to do because it didn't look good for the world. They had places outside of the cities that were three stories high in manure. And this planning conference met for 3.5 days. It was supposed to be a 10-day conference, and they were going to figure it all out. After 3.5 days, they disbanded. It was hopeless. They all went home, and they believed that the world was going to end. And you know what happened? The automobile came and became a source of transportation. We won't talk about the current problems around that. But they were thinking about what they could do with all that manure, and what they were doing was they were playing in the realm of effect, just trying to move stuff around, right? That's not how you do that. You get out of that way. You begin to imagine bigger. You imagine that you can tap into the divine imagination, and then extraordinary things happen. When we get out of the way, a solution will come that maybe we never even imagined, because God imagines greater than we do. So that's what we teach here. We teach that when we're ready to see what else is possible, it'll be revealed. Consciousness is cumulative. I like to say that a lot. It's like we can stretch our consciousness more and more forever and ever, expanding out in that upward spiral, as Holmes used to talk about it. You know, Ernest Holmes was born more than 100 years ago, and our movement, this teaching, is almost 100 years old. Aren't we about to do 90-year celebration? And this is exciting stuff. This man, who was the ninth boy born to Anna and William Holmes, the ninth kid, all sons, came sort of out of the womb curious, seeking, exploring, studying, wanting to know more, hungry for looking for these eternal truths. And so he created this lifestyle that was just about learning and expanding and evolving. And he then formulated a methodology that is superior to, as I look at and as other students come to me from other schools of New Thought, I'm told again and again that we have an extraordinary formula. It is the methodology that Holmes did in his assimilating all of it together that nobody has quite like we do. Now, this man was raised in a family that was spiritual, maybe even considered themselves religious. They did Bible study every day in their home. They were prayed. They prayed together as a family when the boys were tucked in to go to bed, and they went to church. But Anna and William, the parents of Ernest and all those other brothers, did an extraordinary thing in assuring that their sons would not be taught a fear-based religion, that they discouraged fear and shame. Sometimes Mother Anna would go argue with the local preacher to say, "I don't want my boys thinking they're worms." And so they raised these kids outside of the box, and certainly open at the top. And Ernest Holmes says, somewhere I read this, Ernest Holmes said that he was a grown man before he realized there were adult people who really believed in hell and the devil. He didn't relate to it at all. What a gorgeous gift to be given. So he spent his entire life exploring the spiritual traditions of the world and synthesizing it into these universal spiritual truths, and he did a great job. And I, for one, am so, so happy to be a part of a teaching that is so relevant at this time in history. The number 40 in the Bible is spoken of as a time of completion. You know, at the end of 40, whatever it was, always something new began. Think about it. Jesus went away for 40 days before he began his ministry. Noah went through 40 days and 40 nights of rain. And how does that story end? With the clearing of the water into this whole new cleansed planet. The Israelites trudged through the desert for 40 years looking for that promised land. But you know, I was thinking about this. I must have read something this week. I can't recall. You know how it goes when you read everything all the time. But they were wanting to be in that promised land, but I think that they found their difficulty in as much as they didn't have a consciousness for it yet. Isn't that what we teach? It could be right in front of us, but we can't see it till we're ready, right? So on some level, we know that you have to believe it first, and then you can see it. So what does it look like? How would they know? I don't know. And right now, we are standing on the cusp of something so exciting. Something new is demanding to emerge on this planet, and we don't know what it is. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know what it smells like. We just know it doesn't look very good right now. And we want something better, and I'm just so thrilled to belong to an organization that creates a statement such as we're going to take a stand and believe in a world that works for everyone. Because what we do then is we begin to hold that vision. And as we gather together and we have more people that are willing to hold that vision, even though we don't know what it looks like, we just keep imagining. Just like before the aerodynamics, the science of aerodynamics, you know, that was always there. It just took the right people at the right moment, and everything then comes together. It's like it congeals. And you know how it congeals? It's that involution the old metaphysicians used to talk about. It's that inward movement where we get excited inside. So can we get excited about a world, a vision of a world that works for everyone? Absolutely. Can I hear an amen? Where is? Yes, yes, absolutely. I'm so happy to be alive right now. And I know sometimes that it feels scary, but I think it's a great privilege. And my privilege as the senior minister of this community is to witness you all coming alive. It's as though we are being called. I don't mean us. I don't even mean Centers for Spiritual Living or New Thought. I mean all of us. We are being called, and we are being called to rise to a level higher than we have ever risen before. And we are up for it. This church that we now call a center has been here in the West Valley for 40 years feeding souls. And I believe now it's time for us to do more. We have been called to be vision keepers. I feel so strongly this is true. We have been called to create that vision in our own mind, to open our mind to the mind of God, to tap into the divine imagination of what that can be like, and to stand strong in it and to not waver. We are here celebrating tonight 40 years. It is a completion. And with every completion, we step into something brand new. The number 40 in the Bible symbolizes cleansing, readiness, preparation for what's coming. We sure have been cleaning a lot lately, Dr. Ken, getting ready for you. But we're ready. We are prepared. And we're excited about what's coming. We have the perfect message. We have a beautiful vision. We have so much love. And I think that it's valuable for us now to all sort of take a breath, because I get real excited about this. If you're here on Sundays, you know this is always true. But it's time for us to take a breath so that we can do the work that we have been called to do. And part of that is just staying awake. Part of that is being dedicated to having a personal spiritual practice. Part of that is about being willing to have conversations. And we are positioned right now, everyone on this planet, especially in the United States right now, for another week or so, we are positioned to have some serious conversations. And my question is, always to me first, can we have some of those difficult conversations without closing off our hearts? Can we stand in a conversation where we know that there's a higher way of viewing, and maybe we don't want to hear the languaging that's being used? Can we stand in our truth and speak our truth, but keep our hearts open and see a bigger vision? See, the thing that's important to me is that we don't just think it's about going out and recruiting people to come fill up our centers, though. Wouldn't that be awesome? I just love that. There's a vision. But it's more than that, because we don't have it. We have it because we are individualized expressions of the divine. We have that because we have honest, gorgeous moments of being so awake that we get it, that we really, really know it. And we have each other to remind us. And then we get to practice loving each other through the ways that we bump into each other. We get to practice forgiveness. We get to practice restoring ourselves to our wholeness, including some days our sanity. But we do our work, and we aren't set out now to make the world look like us. As much as I would love that, what I know is there's truth everywhere. And that's what our founder, Ernest Holmes, was all about. So I don't have to be, I didn't have to do that evangelical, what do you call that work where you... I don't have to proselyze anymore. I did in a former life. I'm so sorry. Sometimes I was pretty firm that I had the only true religion. But aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed? What a philosophy. What a faith. What a way of life we have here. All we have to do is our own work. We are ready. And we are doing it. And I'm so happy you're all here tonight. So, tonight, right now, it's the time in the evening where I'm going to ask all of the members of this community to stand, because we're going to have a very brief rededication ceremony. So if you consider yourself a member of this community, please stand right now. That's beautiful. Wow. And I'm going to read you our membership covenant. These are the things that we affirm together that we believe. So just listen and make sure you're still in agreement with these things, because I'm going to ask the big question at the end. We believe we are born in the image and likeness of wholeness. We believe that heaven is a state of consciousness of which we can become aware. We believe we are immortal spiritual beings evolving toward a greater awareness of our oneness with God. And we believe that we grow spiritually when we give of ourselves in service. Having heard this covenant read aloud, I ask you now, so now I'm going to ask you a question, and when I get done asking the question, you should respond affirmatively if you agree. Okay? All right. Beautiful members, do you willingly commit to rededicate your energies, your heart, your soul, and your intellect, your talents, and all that you are to Spirit, to Centers for Spiritual Living, and to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living? You make my heart happy. Because you have answered affirmatively, it is my privilege as your senior minister to receive your rededication as members, knowing that the good work we do together is blessed and multiplied. May we continue to join hearts and minds in knowing and fully seeing a world that works for everyone, and knowing, truly knowing, it is absolutely possible. Thank you, my beloveds. You may be seated.